Well, good morning to you all, my brothers and sisters, the blessed, the favored, the beloved of the Lord, and my heart also. And I'm so grateful for you to be with me this morning as I'm officially ordained. Your support, your love, presence, such a blessing to me. And I pray the Lord imparts fresh fire on you as well. And before I begin, I just want to acknowledge the absence of someone who has been a strong brother, a very significant figure in my life, friend, fellow companion, and most singularly, mentor. You don't have many of them in your life, so they're important. John Broughton, the beloved, the bulwark of the faith, passed away recently, took an upgrade into the presence of the Lord. And I'm sorry he cannot be present to receive the honor that is due him this morning as a fellow laborer with me to get to this point. He, as a faithful teacher, a protector, but I know he's watching from heaven, so he won't miss anything. But I just want to thank him and Norma from the bottom of my heart for countless hours of fellowship together, friendship, counsel, and just plain listening as we navigated the perilous, sometimes, waters of ministry and life together. Love you, John. Our hearts and spirits got forged in some way I can't even describe or understand, and I'm so deeply grateful to the Lord for giving me the gift of the Broughtons. And also, I want to acknowledge, as Paul says, you have many teachers, but fathers, not so many. One of my fathers here is here today, Harold Nordine from and Jeanette from Amisk. And I just want to acknowledge their great love and support to me as well. I've thought, mulled, meditated, pondered this powerful concept of what it really means to be ordained. So I don't want to miss anything or take things for granted. I want to hit the mark dead center this morning and the rest of my life. And so, you know me because I'm a teacher, right? We just went through the gifts. Of course, you know there's going to be a word study involved. And so this is where we're just going to touch briefly. And I think, as Pastor Glenn has already mentioned, let's just touch on a key verse for our understanding of ordination this morning. You, Jesus is speaking, did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. This one says appointed, NIV. It says ordained in the King James. So that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That's his words of ordination over not just me, but you this morning. So receive that full package. And you know, we have an understanding here in the church, and it's a religious understanding partly. It's an understanding of men about what the process is to go through seminary, be ordained, become a minister of the church. But of course, sometimes men's ideas and God's ideas part company a little bit along the way. So it's always good to come back to God's statements. And in the Old Testament, of course, we know in the Old Testament, kings, priests, prophets were anointed and, you know, ordained. And it was, you know, it had a specialness attached to it. And this word ordained that is used here means to make someone a minister or confer holy orders on, to order or decree by virtue of a superior authority, to invest with ministerial or priestly authority. Not surprising. That's pretty straightforward. But we see also in the New Testament, Jesus is coming forth. That Old Testament word also means to set in order or to put in battle array. When you get ordained, God is setting you up for something. It's not just a sweet little oil poured on the head business. He's setting up the plans, and he's putting things in order, and he's preparing you for what you need, and he's directing you, and he's furnishing what is necessary. All of that is in motion. And we see in the New Testament, Jesus, this is from Mark 3, and he went up to the mountain and called unto him whom he would. He prayed all night, and they came to him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sickness and cast out devils. And we see this idea of ordination as Jesus picked his disciples. And you know, we have a tendency to somehow mentally elevate the disciples in our minds. But truthfully, Jesus could walk in here today and pick out of the crowd, by the same standards he used to choose them, us here. These people, we know them. We read about their personalities. We go, yeah, I know somebody like that. Yeah. Is John the Beloved? Well, maybe, you know, John the Beloved who leaned on Jesus, maybe he was just a clinger. In real life, you know those people who stand too close to you and break your personal space? Who like to touch you too much? Maybe that's what John was in real life. And maybe he just, you know, he's one of those people who whenever there's an intimate conversation, we can smell it from across the room and he comes running. I don't know. Peter the brash, Peter the blowhard. I mean, come on, we know these people. They like to dominate situations. They like to throw their weight around, throw in their 2 cents worth, rush in where angels fear to tread. They're impetuous, impulsive, sometimes no self-control. James, the legalistic one, maybe inflexible, opinionated, sharp-tongued. Levi, the publican, a little greedy, a little covetous, on the take, unscrupulous, a little savvy, a little street smart, hard-headed, selfish, self-serving. And then there's Thomas, the dubious doubter, hard-headed, stubborn, always has to be proven everything. Simon the Zealot, really the first kind of terrorist that appears in history were these zealots that wanted to overthrow the Roman government through forcible means. Somebody that no matter who you talk to, they get back on their bugbear of their subject of about which they're passionate, and you can't get them off. Judas Iscariot, the purloiner. He liked to take a little off the top. There's got to be something in it for me. We know people like this. He was a deal maker, passive aggressive, and finally, the betrayer. These are not strange archetypes to us, yet they are the fabric that formed whom Jesus ordained. And I'm trying to use humor this morning. I'm not trying to badmouth the apostles. Love you guys. I'm just pointing out that they're not holier than we thought they were. They're just like us. And if he called them, he'll call us. We know them. And they were just as screwed up, just as dysfunctional, just as damaged, not ready for the big call of God upon them when it came. So who is worthy to be ordained? In the Old Testament, kings and priests, prophets. In the New Testament, now all Jesus' disciples are ordained. Who's worthy? Many times we struggle with our own worthiness, with whether we think we're actually authentic Christians, whether we're actually authentic believers. We're not even aiming for ordination level. We're just trying to crawl in under the radar. Are we actually what we think we are, what we say we are? But Jesus chose us. We didn't choose him, not initially. It's not about worthiness, at least not ours. We enter into the righteousness of Christ through our baptism, through confession of faith, and then we remain in it through faith and grace and diligent service. We can't even make one little move. Flesh does not want God. Flesh is not interested in anything that has to do with honoring God. Not at all. You have to have obedience to the Holy Spirit to even move a little bit towards God. That's the Spirit doing things. But we are ordained. And I want to talk about this scripture I've chosen from Romans because it's your ordination package. You know, when you start a new job, you get most of the time some kind of health package, some kind of retirement package. So, you know, guess what? When you entered the kingdom, you got an ordination package. Hallelujah. Let's break it down. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. There it is, your ordination package. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8. Now, anybody here this morning who can remember the story of David and Goliath? It's one of the most riveting, you know, stories you learn in Sunday school, along with the ark, so you usually don't forget it. In 1 Samuel 17, we find the story of David and Goliath. And remember that the camp of the Philistines was encamped against Judah, and there was a champion of the Philistines that would come out onto the middle ground, the Champlain. In those days, you'd send out a champion from your camp and a champion from our camp so that the whole army didn't have to kill each other, and whoever won, the champion, took the battle. So, and that's where we get the word Champlain, neutral ground, campaign, battle, all of that comes from that idea of champion. And day after day after day, the scripture tells us, Goliath came out on the middle ground, and he bad-mouthed them so much. He defied the armies of the living God. That's what he did. Until David was sent by his father to go take bread to the boys, his three elder brothers out on the front lines. And he said, what's going on, this guy? And they said, well, you know, we're supposed to go fight him, but they're all standing back in the ranks, shivering. And David said, don't you worry. Who does he think he is to defy the armies of the living God? I'll go deal with it. And when Goliath saw him coming, he says, am I a dog that you come with me, to me with sticks? And because he had his sling. But what else did he have beside his sling? 5 smooth stones. And it only took one to hit him right in the middle of the forehead, knock him out cold. David ran over and cut off his own head with his own spear. 5 smooth stones. Can I show you your 5 smooth stones this morning? They're right there in your ordination package. In fact, you've got 6. Because God foreknew you. He gave it all to you before you even knew you were you and God was God. You were foreknown before you even entered the realm of time. This package was for you. Wow. You were predestined. God has a plan for your life, and you are important to him and to the kingdom of God. You have a place in it. You are predestined. You are called to be conformed. You're being changed into the image of Jesus. When you received your predestination, when you received the Lord, a process began in you of new creation coming out from the inside and the old man being put to death. You are being conformed into the image of his son. You have been called by name. And he read it for me, Jeremiah 29:11. God's plans for you. He's calling you into what he's predestined you for. You've been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. And you will be glorified as you walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus. This is your ordination package. And the Satan will throw something at you in different seasons of your life. And you got to decide which one of these stones you're going to pick up and put in your sling. You're not worth nothing. You'll never amount to anything. I don't care how much education you have. You're just too dumb. You're just too slow. You failed too much. Wait a second. Let me just pick up my little predestined stone. Pardon me. But Jesus said, this is who I am, and I bring down that lie. That I should bear fruit, and my fruit will endure. Thank you very much. Nobody wants you. You've been through how many relationships? You've been through how many marriages? Your family kicked you out. Your kids won't even talk to you. Pardon me. But I've been called. I am someone. He calls me by name. I'm not nobody. Pick up your smooth stone. You're just a failure. And you've done this, and you've done that, and you've got a past history that's so messy, I don't even want to get into it because I don't want to get my hands dirty. No. I'm justified. I'm standing in the righteousness of Christ. I know who I am. I know what I was. And I know where he's taking me to be. I pick up the stone of justified. And I put it in the sling and fire it at the enemy. And I will be glorified. Maybe you look at my life and you think I haven't accomplished anything. There's nothing important. There's nothing noteworthy. But Christ in me is the hope of glory. And I will be glorified. I pick up my stone of ordination and sling it at the enemy. And you know what? If you think that David, as skilled as he was, could send a stone out of a sling with enough force to kill a giant, you are wrong. When he put that stone in that sling and it went out, God's weight went behind it as if the Lord swung it. That's how come it knocked out Goliath. You throw it, he'll accelerate it. Five smooth stones, and even I'll give you six. Four known. And each one of these stones is the confirmation God chose you. And if you get a revelation at different times in your life of any one of these words, you're going to bring down a giant. And all five together are going to clear the Canaanites out of your land. And you're going to take possession of what God has promised you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to flesh, but according to spirit. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. You are called. You are anointed. You are ordained. Maybe not everyone is ordained into active ministry, but there is ordination on you. And the question that faces you this morning is, will you walk in it? Will you let the Lord unfold the great things he has for you step by step? Because in the final analysis, being ordained is not about the work God is calling you to. As radical a statement as that is, being ordained is the grateful acknowledgement that you have been chosen into a relationship with the Most High God. The work you do flows out of that incredible privilege through these unique set of giftings the Lord has given you. And when we lose that central pivot of relationship and the importance of it, every bit of our work falls flat. It doesn't matter how successful you are, how much reputation, how much esteem you have in your career, how much money you make, your work will not enter eternity with you if it doesn't flow out of the Lord and his righteousness. So the simple response of is just choosing God as he has chosen you. Step in to your ordination and pick up your 5 smooth stones because you're going to need them. They're for you. Just in review, let's say it again. Oops. You did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you. You should go and bear fruit. Your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it for you. Would you stand and let's close with the benediction. And just receive, as you speak these words, just receive the grace and the life and the living word that flows through them. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, beloved. Amen.